Good evening, my name is Ibrahim Sani. This is Notepad. I'm joined by my colleague.
Yes, I'm new. I'm joining Ibrahim.
You're not that new.
And I'm Nabila Khalida. And I just joined Ibrahim for today. So, excuse me.
It's actually I dragged her on the show to talk about this very interesting element of building smart cities. In the studio right now, we have Haziq Faris, the CEO of Reka. What Reka is doing right now is actually quite interesting. They're building smart cities. They're partnering with Murata, a Japanese electronics manufacturer, to build solutions for not just building smart cities, but using the technology behind it, which is mostly on LiDAR or light detection and ranging. There's a lot of questions that needs to be unpacked. Maybe we bring in Haziq first. How are you, Haziq?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm fine.
It's so much fun having somebody like you on because I like building smart solutions. Maybe you can...
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting about smart cities, kan?
Yeah.
But it's quite new here in Malaysia.
Yep.
So maybe, Haziq, maybe you can share more about the company, the Reka company itself.
Okay, so Reka, we are an R&D company, and what we do essentially, we build technologies to connect human and technology. That's the base of it. And one part of what we do is that we want to build smarter cities. Mm-hmm. And with smart cities means the city will help ease day-to-day operations for humans. And this includes sensors in infrastructure of the city, in roads, autonomous vehicles, and eventually robotics as well. So that's essentially what we do at Reka.
What would be the main pain point for cities that you're trying to resolve? The two or three biggest problems right now?
I think the major ones would be obviously traffic congestion. That is the number one, I would say,
concern
throughout the worldwide, actually. And another element is safety. Because as you know, with roads, with vehicles, there's always a safety issue. There's a lot of accidents happening and lives are being lost. So this is two of the major pain points that we're trying to actually try to curb with the use of technology.
Maybe I'm just curious. Maybe the idea came from your own experience when you're driving ke, macam mana?
Okay, so obviously, I guess all of us is a driver, right? So we can see day to day as Malaysians when we drive, always there's jams everywhere, and especially peak hours, and especially after the pandemic, the traffic jams soared. Everyone is going out, and you can see accidents happening every day, and then when we go by the road, we can see accidents by the roadside, and eventually this create a concern on us. And especially when Reka, when we first earlier on back in 2016, we were doing a lot of autonomous vehicle testing. We built self-driving cars, and one of the major elements that we need to tackle is how we want to deal with human behavior to prevent more accidents. So this, but then after that, we realized that the city needs to be smart as well. It's not just the cars. The city needs to be smart as well. And this is where we venture into smart cities development.
Okay, when you say cities have to be smart as well, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so there's obviously there's a lot of elements that come to it. But one of it is the infrastructure. The cities need to be able to tell the road users, the citizens, what's happening within the cities. And we're talking about sensors, we're talking about the roads, knowing there's going to be traffic jams, or even predicting traffic jams in peak hours, and even correlating with weather and stuff like that. So the cities need to be able to tell people, hey, there's going to be traffic jams in this time, this time. So we, as the citizen or the users of the road, can make more informed decisions based on the data.
All right, so I'm kind of informed that the process, the establishment process is kind of ongoing right now.
Yeah.
So maybe you can share how the process so far like.
Okay.
So far dah banyak macam banyak mana ke? Misha sikit.
So so a little bit of background. So like when we first started, we were doing self-driving cars and we were building it to ensure that eventually people will have a better or more safer driving experience, right? And then we met Murata, which is our partner from Japan. And what they're doing is they are building sensors and they want to make city smart, and they're targeting Southeast Asia, and this is where we come in. So they started with pilot projects in Indonesia, Jakarta, as well as in Thailand, Bangkok. And they want to look into other countries in the region. And for Malaysia, it's where we are helping them to actually build smarter cities and eventually help the citizens in Malaysia to actually have better driving experience. So here in Malaysia, we actually have three sensors already installed. in Klang Valley. And right now we're analyzing data and try to make more informed decisions on how better city planning can help to reduce congestion as well as make roads safe, more safer.
Let's get into the weeds then.
Yeah.
So you have three sensors up in KL.
Yeah.
And you're here trying to collect data and trying to understand what's happening.
Yes.
Could you tell us what kind of data you're collecting, or what kind of reading or what kind of analysis are you trying to figure out in order to achieve that whole problem solving of traffic congestion?
Okay. So let's start with the basics. So definitely we are we're analyzing the count. How many cars per minute, per hour, and then the speed of these cars, and then something called the dwell time. So dwell time means that how long a car's been static on the road, so that can show there's a jam.
Oh, dwelling. Right? Okay.
Dwelling, yes.
Okay.
Dwelling.
Like so, idling.
Yeah, yeah, like idling, yeah. So from this kind of data, we can make a bit more, I would say, processed or extracted data where we can see, okay, this particular road is going through a jam at this hour. So having this road historically, we will be able to understand that, okay, this is the peak time and how we can make better, I would say, city planning to actually make it more efficient. And we're even collecting how the lanes as well. So the speed of each lane, the congestion at each lane, and this helps to understand the capacity per lane that a road can take, and that can be correlated with other things as well to make the city planning is much more better lah. Yeah,
that's about traffic congestion,
yeah, congestion
to
congestion.
Avoid traffic jams and sort of. Yep. So what about improving our sustainability in Malaysia?
Okay.
How do you promote sustainability?
Okay, so there's two parts to this. So let's talk about just the reducing traffic jams, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding traffic behavior, how people drive, and the peak hours in certain roads help us to better understand. Okay, there's a blockage somewhere, mm-hmm. and when cars are idling, you're consuming fuel, and that reduces carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. and this is pretty much harmful to the environment, and consuming more fuel is technically harming your wallets as well, because you're consuming fuel, right? So having better understanding eventually will lead to better road planning as well. And this is not just for local authorities to plan the road, but also for us as the public, the citizens, right? When we use roads, we can know, okay, so today there's traffic jam here, there's traffic jam here, there's traffic jam here. How do I reduce my time on the road and make it more efficient for me to go to work, etc. So that's one component to it. Another component to it is that for the sensor, we do have sensors for weather as well. Understanding the weather is key component here. Mm-hmm. For instance, like having floods recently, last time, right? It was a shock for everyone. And we have the sensors that can eventually predict weather patterns and eventually understanding raindrops and measuring it to help us to make better plans for this kind of disasters.
It seems like you guys are not just building the hardware element of it, you're trying to build the software element of it. You're trying to build, of course, software term is a bit archaic.
Yes.
You're trying to build the solutioning behind the data that has been collected.
Yes.
So it's a mesh between statistics and raw data versus human element into
it.
Yes. And you're trying to put some human intent behind it.
Yes.
This must be a crazy undertaking, right? And on top of this, you got to deal with the regulators, the city councils, people, you name it.
Yes, yes. So
how do you go around it?
Yeah, so hardware or the tech side, hardware and software is technically the easy part. We're collecting data and the data is put in the cloud, right? But the hard part of it is understanding human behavior. Because as you know that, cars is one thing and cars is pretty fixed. Cars or buses, these are large vehicles that's pretty fixed on the road, right? And then you have other elements like pedestrians as well as motorcyclists, and these are quite dynamic in terms of how they move in the road. And understanding this behavior, building the AI and the machine learning part of it to actually help in prediction is where it gets a bit more, I would say, much more wonky, a bit more headache in that part.
The idea here is to have a model in one particular city, make it like a case study, and then try to export it to many other cities.
Yes.
Could you share with us some of your plans outside of the pilot project that you're doing right now? Mm-hmm. What would be some of the cities that would benefit the most in terms of getting the solution up?
Okay.
Or at least in your plans, where do you want to grow?
Okay. So I think when we talk about this, obviously there's a lot of other cities here in Malaysia, right? But definitely right now we're focusing on KL, just KL. And the reason why is that, first of all, the amount of cars or vehicles against people is super high. As well as if you look at the commercial value of it, there's a lot of businesses here. And if you're talking about specifically a marketing or advertisement, there's a lot more billboards here. There's a lot more concentrated areas of advertising space here in KL. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, in KL enough, there's a lot more to go in terms of smart cities as compared to going to outside. We want to be able to understand here better, because with high traffic congestion, with high highly dense populated area, it's easier to get more data and to understand the behavior of people, and it's going to be much easier to emulate it in other cities that is a bit more less congested. So that's why right now our focus is concentrated in KL, and but we are also assisting with Murata, supporting them in doing the analytics and machine learning development in other countries as well, in Jakarta and in Bangkok. And the reason why is because these are all the places where we're analyzing the data are very densely packed, and we want to understand that, will there be a correlation between behaviors for people in other cities, in other region, as compared to us. And from this, we can make better informed decisions in terms of time planning.
Alright, let's go way back. Maybe you mentioned about Murata just now, Japanese-based manufacturer.
Yes.
So how did this collaboration start, actually?
Okay. So the relationship started back in, I would say, 2017, when we were testing our own self-driving cars. Right? And as probably most of you know, the self-driving cars, one of the key components are the use of LiDAR technology. So LiDAR is a set of lasers that you can use to actually understand the environment around you, and it tells the car, okay, hey, there's something or someone in front, you need to do something. So that's the basis of LiDAR. And at the time, we were one of the few that is heavily testing LiDARs on streets. And with Murata, when they came in, they wanted to have a partner that not only understands the technology, especially the LiDAR part, as well as understand the impact, future impact of why smart cities need to be here. So they seek us out, and we were able to find a mutual way forward in terms of building smarter cities in the future, and that's how it all started back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to look into the funding element of Reka.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to be cheap.
Of course.
In finding these kind of solutions. Where do you see yourself in terms of trying to be the evangelist for the businesses that you're trying to build versus trying to attract the kind of investors that you need?
Okay.
Are you making any headway or any room in terms of trying to reach out to investors here?
We do, because like right now, we talk about data. Data, technically, people saying that data is sort of a new or new goal, right?
Yeah.
And with data,
sometimes too much data, unconsented data,
macam-macam lagi. Yeah, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of noise.
Like, if I'm driving and I know that a folk like you is trying to get data from my car,
I'll be scared,
right? I'm not doing anything.
I can drive fast, I can drive slow, I can idle or dwell.
And without knowing, somebody's looking at me and, you know, reading. You have no personal interest in me and my car, of course. But, like, I'm part of a statistics and I'm scared, right? Don't you think? Anyway, that's just me.
Yeah, that is definitely, like, a scary part to it, lah. When we're talking about living in this day and age, everything's about data, and what's more scary is that some big companies, they are able to sort of like track you, right?
Yeah.
So this is partly why we use LiDAR. So LiDAR, what it does, the base tech, is that it recognizes shapes, it recognizes distance, and from there, the machine learning determines whether you're a human or an object or an animal or a building or a car. So we don't know, from LiDAR, we can't know the identity of person. So it's privacy centric. And this is why we're mainly pushing this. instead of other kind of technology, because we want to avoid having personal identification kind of technology like other countries are using, simply because we also while we want to make cities smarter, we wouldn't want to infringe onto the privacy of other people, right? So this is where we want to be able to make a statement that, hey, we can make cities smarter, and we can protect your data or your privacy at the same time. And that is the main component that what we're doing here at Reka. Even when we're doing our autonomous vehicle or self-driving, right? So we don't want it to be able to recognize people. We want it to be able to just recognize the environment, the space, and how to drive safely through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the issue of investors, yeah. how is that coming along?
Okay, so for investors, there's a lot of interest in the, especially in Southeast Asia region. Right now, when you look at the bigger picture of it all, so there's a lot of there's a lot of bigger markets out there, but then Southeast Asia itself is large. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people here, and there's a lot of potential here, and untapped potential, and that's why a lot of outside investors, especially in Japan, in the States, are coming not just Malaysia, but into the region. And we're talking about specifically into Malaysia. There's a lot of, I would say, potential that we can do. For instance, like in terms of smart cities itself, our roads, we haven't gone through like a very aggressive, digitalization process. Mm-hmm. So there's room for improvement there. So a lot of investors are keen, as well as they are very much positive in spite of everything, in spite of the pandemic and things like that. Mm-hmm. Right. So data is still a key here. A lot of people want to understand behaviors. And when you understand behavior, especially in for road traffic, you can derive, more businesses from there. And talking about businesses can very much benefit from this kind of data. They would subscribe to the data, and they can use the data to actually improve their own business traffic as well.
Let's talk about how industries can use this as a marketing opportunity and make more, I guess, profitable decisions moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the use cases that we're pursuing and we're actually marketing it is that it can be used as a tool for you to actually understand how would you want to track or how you want to spend your, marketing out of home marketing budget. For instance, like when you have a budget for your digital advertising, right? So you know how many people are actually looking at your ads online, your impression numbers. Mm. But for physical advertisement or physical method, you wouldn't be able to gauge, if I spend this much, how much
But billboard companies tend to say, oh, you put the billboard in this jalan or that jalan, there's going to be like 300,000 cars passing through and all that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, definitely. So that is one of the challenges that we're actually looking into, because although we know, okay, certain areas, okay, these areas is concentrated, but for businesses, for business owners, they might have a different demography or a different setting that they're looking at. And numbers alone, numbers of traffic alone, sometimes doesn't justify their own business needs. Mm. So it's really much customized. And in the age of data-driven decision, these kind of data are very much important for businesses to make informed decisions, saying that, hey, I know this place is congested, but my target market is here. Mm. So, but I need the data to understand, do I benefit from having my advertisement here? So these are the kind of feedback that we're getting from the brand owners or even the business owners, right? When we do interview with them, and then when we understand their pains and problems. So we're trying to build a platform where businesses can track their physical advertisement in terms of cost benefit ratio.
There's also this whole idea of how autonomous driving vehicles can actually drive not just efficiency, but actually reduce carbon emission and many more. However, a few years ago when I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and it was in a partnership between, if I'm not mistaken, Verizon and another automaker, I think Ford, they only got approval from maybe 2 city councils to actually deploy autonomous driving and trackable LiDAR technology there. I don't know how things have changed over the past few years, particularly during the pandemic, But it seems like trying to get approval from the regulators is extremely hard, unless that city council is run by techies, for instance.
Yeah, super progressive.
How do you overcome this challenge?
To be frank, we haven't fully overcome it because statement that you just made, right? How, after the pandemic, how is it now? It's still more or less almost the same everywhere around the world. Even though autonomous vehicle has made leaps and bounds in terms of technology itself, and even the technology has been proven in to a certain degree, right? But city councils around the world are still, there's a lot of skepticism, and they are right to be skeptic, because we are talking about leaving the driving to a robot or an AI, and that scares a lot of people, because we're talking about...
I'm not scared. Yeah. I'm not scared of leaving it to the AI. I'm scared of you taking my data. That's some of the fears, right? Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of concerns here, especially on space safety side, because we've heard accidents even with autonomous vehicles, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of regulators are still looking down on how we want to actually make this a much more safer implementation. Mm. And that's why autonomous vehicles have taken a lot of routes, especially in campuses deployment, where you have minimal risk in terms of accidents, or even going inside buildings using robots to actually carry materials and stuff like that. So that's where it sort of like branches off. But the passenger type autonomous vehicle where you see on the road, like robo taxis and whatnot, other countries are doing very minimal and very restricted pilot testing. But as far as that is concerned, here in this region, we don't have a lot of movement in terms of having it on actual roads, except for in test beds only. Malaysia, as of now, they are looking to launch. We do have a couple of test beds already, but we don't have a lot of autonomous vehicle players here in this, especially in this region. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to actually see autonomous vehicle going onto the road. And one of the major ones is data. Collecting data is a way for autonomous vehicle to learn how they want to drive, especially like building maps. We don't have like a very high definition map here for Malaysia, especially specifically, right? So autonomous vehicle wouldn't be able to make much more accurate or precise a decision when it comes to navigating through our streets. So there's a lot of work to be done, and the key component here is data. For technology to move forward, you need data. For us, like for a human, right, we technically accumulate data as we grow and we learn how to drive properly.
Yeah.
So, and that's essentially what we need to be doing for autonomous vehicle. Although we can say, okay, hey, in this situation, you drive this, you drive this, you drive this. But the world is so chaotic. Anything can happen, and we can't possibly program everything. So we need data for the vehicle to sort of like gain experience on their own and be able to understand how to navigate safely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, Nabila. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm. Maybe last question. Let's talk about vision mission, because we know this is such a big project, and it's not... and we call it ambitious line. Yeah. Okay. So maybe your vision and mission. So how long do you target it to be, whole Malaysia to be fully, to be a smart city?
Okay. That is quite a hard question, because we're talking about a lot of components need to align here, right? You have regulation, you have technology, you have even public acceptance, because even if like Ibrahim said, if we have the technology locked down, people will still be having a little bit of fear or concern when you talk about collecting data and understanding how human behavior, right? So there's a lot of components to that comes into it, and I'm not sure if I'm the right person to actually say how much years that it takes to actually have the whole Malaysia to be very smart, right? But in terms of the vision, like Reka, our mission statement is very clear. We want to enable people to create. And from there, we can derive, we want to build that human to technology connectivity. We build technology that helps human better understand the world through technology. And one of it is smart cities and self-driving cars. With smart city technology like sensors, we ourselves, we don't know whether or not there's going to be a traffic jam. in the next couple of hours, or is there going to be rain in the next couple of minutes? Mm-hmm. So with through technology, we help make that connection from us as a human to the environment itself. We now we understand the environment better and we can make better decisions. And for self-driving cars, it's the same. Even for self-driving cars, it's not just about the driving, it's also about the experience. When you go onto the autonomous vehicle, you are able to let go of, I would say, the more mundane tasks of driving. Yeah. And you can focus more on your day-to-day life as a person working or yeah. or enjoying life as it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you
right?
take that element yeah. away and you can be more productive, mm-hmm. I can imagine that.
Yes. So this is what we're advocating. We want to enable people to live out more of their life through the use of technology. Mm-hmm. So this is where the bigger vision or mission that mm-hmm. we're pursuing. And having smart cities is, I would say, the first step going to this vision, because obviously smart cities is a huge thing.
Yes.
You have smaller components. And we're just talking about traffic here. Yeah. There's a lot of other things.
Of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you have cashless payments.
That's why we need to come to this show a lot more.
Yeah.
Often,
I'm more than glad to be able to
No,
come
because
here,
you're right. Definitely. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're not here to build solutions. You're trying to actually uplift human experience.
Yes. Yes.
That's mm-hmm. the end goal.
Yes.
And so I have a semi-autonomous car right now. Even at semi-autonomous, of course, my eyes are still on the road.
Of course.
I can actually start thinking a lot more, and then I can have better quality conversation. I can be, I wouldn't call it distracted, but less nervous about being distracted.
You take the worry away from certain things, right?
About half, you know, imagine fully autonomous. Yep. Anyway, mm-hmm. there's a lot more that needs to be unpacked. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. That was our conversation with Haziq Faris, the CEO of Reka, and of course, again, thank you very much to my co-conspirator in this effort of trying to get more out of Haziq, Nabila Khalida. Mm-hmm. Also, join us on Niaga Awani Mondays to Fridays at 9 a.m. We unpack more business stories, not just items like this, but of course, those that involve markets, involve geopolitical issues, and of course, some issues on politics as well. Those are currently happening on Niaga Awani. But for now, if you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrawani.com, look for Notepad. There's a lot of interviews like this that can be found there. Until then, thanks very much, Haziq, for coming over.
Thanks
Thank you very much, Nabila.
Thank
we'll
you
catch
so
you in the next one.